Invisible Children put on an event in Los Angeles this last week called The Fourth Estate. This event was designed to prepare young people to live with a purpose. As Jason Russell put it, he said, "This is your time to find your dream and make your dream your life." Find your dream and make your dream your life. The Fourth Estate Summit was presented by Invisible Children, and let me tell you, they were prepared for everything. Every bit of music, every film clip, every bus ride, every trip to the airport, every speaker, including Samantha Power, who gave her first speech since being appointed as the United States Ambassador to the United Nations, was there. Every aspect of this Fourth Estate Summit was choreographed, ready to take action. Invisible Children had even studied the registrations, the applications of each and every student who had arrived, and they had over 1,000 students there. And on that very first night that they met, Invisible Children began calling out these individuals from the audience, letting them know how much they appreciated the sharing of their stories and the way that their lives had intersected with the work of Invisible Children. They were prepared for this gathering of young people. They were prepared to give these young people an experience of what it is to make your dream your life. Rather than be overwhelmed and discouraged and complacent about the deep broken needs in our world. One young woman wrote on her application that at the very top of her bucket list was to find a way to get a prosthetic arm for her 16-year-old friend who had been born without an arm and had been denied 4 times by the medical community to receive a prosthesis for that limb. Her name is Tori. She was turned down 4 times. Invisible Children called out this group of 4 young men onto the stage. These 4 young men are part of another organization called the Buried Life. And the Buried Life are a group of young men who go around the country facilitating bucket lists for other people, helping other people accomplish their bucket lists. And this group went to the front runners of those who provide prosthetic care, the very best of the best, and they shared Tori's story. So this last Friday night, a group of young people made that possibility a reality. They cut through every red tape in the system. This is a true story. Tori had no idea that she was being called up on that stage on Friday night to receive a prosthetic arm just because her friend wanted her to have one. She will be receiving a state-of-the-art prosthetic device. My friends, we cannot help someone if we are not ready, if we are not prepared. Like Invisible Children, we, the church, need to stop at nothing. Yesterday, I performed a wedding here. It was a blessing to officiate at the wedding of Andy Convery and Elise Errol. They were married here. We had a rehearsal on Friday night, and as Elise walked down the aisle practicing for the first time, she immediately said, "I want to practice that again." You know, a bride and a groom, they anticipate and they prepare for their wedding day like none other. Think of the last wedding that you attended. Think of all the details that were prepared ahead of time to make the guests feel welcome. I do. I do, that willingness to make a commitment happens when people are prepared. I have a friend named Tom from Sierra Leone, and he told me that in his country, they leave a pot of stew on the back burner at nighttime just in case someone comes to visit. They are ready for company. They are prepared for guests just in case we need to be ready too. So what did you do this morning to prepare for worship? And I'd first like to give a shout out to Jim Son, who almost every Sunday comes here to unlock this church and prepare our sanctuary for worship. But what have you done, or what has made you ready for an encounter with the living God here and right now? Did you come this morning ready to serve, ready to take action? According to the scripture, those who are ready, the king will greet, and the king will serve them. So don't let the beginning of this scripture throw you. If you look at the back of your bulletin, turn to that again. It says something about giving away all of our possessions. And when we read that, we immediately get anxious, right? I know I do. I will be the first to admit I have some things that I really enjoy, and I'm not giving them up today. But Jesus clearly wants us to learn that an accumulation of material things or accumulation of wealth is not going to make us happy. You see, once we have enough money for a decent life, we begin to get anxious about getting ahead of that, right? Jesus taught there's more to life than being controlled by things, that the treasures in the kingdom cannot be purchased, that the accumulation of treasures keep us from serving, keep us from being prepared, keep us from being ready. They take us away from our purpose. They derail us from the essentials. Jesus said to them, "My little flock, my Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." We can't get the kingdom through material wealth. We get the kingdom through Christ our Lord. Jesus emphasized to the disciples that what is essential is being prepared. Readiness to serve is essential for the kingdom of God. This is not a new teaching to the disciples, for they would remember the instructions that were given by God at the Passover meal, which say, "Gird up your loins." This is how you are to eat the Passover meal, with the cloak tucked inside your belt, with the sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Salvation has everything to do with being ready. We are to be dressed for action, ready for God to save us, ready for Christ to come again. Now, Jesus in Luke's gospel was not threatening those who lived outside the church, outside of the faith community. He was encouraging those inside the church. Stay up all night and be ready to serve. Duty is a gift. It is purpose. It means that your life is worthy. It means that you recognize that everyone has a life that is worthy, that there is value, that you and I and you and you and you are all needed for the kingdom for such a time as this. So if readiness is the key to a sit-down dinner with the king, what does that mean for us here in the 21st century in Alexandria? What do we need to do to be ready for the king to arrive. If Jesus showed up at your door today, would you be prepared? Have you rehearsed what you would do or what you would say? Would you have stew ready to feed him? Would your family and friends be ready? Two things you need to know about God's saving grace. Two things. The first one is, salvation is not passive. Salvation requires participation. And the second thing is that redemption does not happen without brokenness. If you are not broken, and if you do not address the sinful or shadow side of your life, then there is no need for redemption. Then there is no way to recognize the need for redeeming others. Now, there's an account in the Old Testament of a time when Israel was about ready to perish from famine. They had no food. They were going to die. And do you remember who was responsible for saving them? It was Joseph. Joseph, the brother who was sold to slavery. You could say he knew brokenness. He was the one who was prepared. He had 7 years of stored grain, enough to feed Israel and all of Egypt during that famine. His readiness became the avenue for salvation for others. Jesus knew the overwhelming difficulty his disciples would face, believe me. He knew those inside the faith community would be dealing with the broken world out there. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, my little flock. My Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." So here's the thing. Yes, we have the kingdom. In fact, the kingdom is happening all the time. But if we are not prepared, if we are not ready to act, we miss out on dinner time with the king. The goal of the kingdom of God is the redemption of all, the renewal of all of creation. And Jesus showed what he meant by this reign of God as he went about healing others and casting out demons. Poverty and injustice were not part of God's plan, my friend. They were not part of God's plan for creation. And they will be gone when Christ comes again. And we in the church are waiting for the return of Christ. And if we read these scriptures right today, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for such a time as this. Rather than to be the last to respond, we need to be the first responders, trained, equipped, our tool bags packed, connected to others who can be part of God's salvation plan. How come we feel so disempowered? Perhaps we don't know our own real identity. Perhaps we have lost sight of who we are and who God is. Perhaps we are not ready for the king to return because we don't really believe he is coming. I believe that the church can and will make a difference in our world. But only when we realize that salvation is not passive, when it is active, and when we realize that redemption requires admission of our brokenness as a church. Our brokenness is a faith community. When we know we are broken, when we know we are failing at keeping the faith, when we know that we cannot do this thing called servanthood alone, then we are ready for redemption. When we recognize our own brokenness, then we are ready to see the brokenness that needs redeeming in the world. When we let go of the old ways that have held us back and move toward new ways of doing things in the church. Now, I could stand here right now and I could tell you several more stories, like the stories I told you of individual lives that have inspired me to readiness. And some of them may even be your stories. But I have a hope for the whole church. And you know what? I don't think we can be ready for action. I don't think we can be prepared for salvation without transforming our way of thinking that it is about us, the church, and what we do, and to start thinking that it is about what we, the church, can do to help others. We need to be connected to others. Think about it. The first responders, the firemen and the police, they know their resources in the community. They don't do it alone. They know they don't help others without working together. When there's a big problem like a flood in the community, they work with healthcare, they work with engineers, they work with volunteers, and they work with one another to provide housing, to provide cleanup and safety for all those who are affected. Well, the church is to be the first responder in God's kingdom. Being ready means that we know and connect with our neighborhood schools, with their principals. We know and connect with our businesses, with the restaurants and the health care that's in the community. We know and we connect with the places that people normally and regularly and frequently gather, and we know what they provide for others. We in the church need to work alongside others to help address the needs in the community. Now, here at Wesley, we do have a model for this. We have a model called Rock Kitchen. It began by Dale Swartz, who is with us today. We could not feed the homeless without accessing the many different resources that facilitate that ministry. But I think we need to offer more ministry that way. How about an after-school program in our fellowship hall, partnering with Rising Hope and Woodley Hills? How about providing a place for senior citizens to benefit socially with speakers and activities? Or how about providing a space for a free clinic partnered with Inova Health System? You name it. No, really, you name it. And I will work alongside you to accomplish whatever your dream is here at Wesley Church. I will work alongside to help facilitate any ministry that you would desire. Remember, salvation is not passive. Rather than feeling so overwhelmed by the needs in our community, the needs in our families, the needs in our lives, rather than being overwhelmed, come on, church, we need to get ready. We need to be prepared. Our redemption will happen through our brokenness. Our place of poverty, our place of brokenness is the starting point for our redemption. It is the place where God draws near. Where we are broken is where we will find Jesus Christ come again and again and again. Let's get ready, church. Let's be the first responders in the kingdom of God. Amen.